I want you to get your Bible. Everybody got a Bible? Got your Bible? Got your Bible? I want you to find your place in the book of Romans at Romans chapter number 8. Everybody turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans 8 is a famous chapter. Matter of fact, it's really famous because of one verse. What's the verse? Don't cheat. See if you know it. What's the verse? Romans 8, 28. It was my grandmother's life verse, and it is a great one. Look at Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's a great verse. We'll come back to it before we are done. But every verse is connected to the verses around it. So every text has a context, and it's really interesting. Everybody wants to quote Romans 8:28 and then neglect all the verses that lead up to Romans 8:28. We want to live in the blessing, and we want to know God's purpose, and we want everything to work together for good. But here is how God does that in our lives. Back up in Romans chapter number 8, let's have a little Bible study together. And look what the Bible says beginning in verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit. Everybody take your pen and underline the Spirit in your Bible. Now, usually we start talking about spirits and ghosts, and people think of some spooky, mystical kind of something. But the Spirit here is the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. We don't have three gods. We have one God expressed in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look at me, please. They are co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal. What does that mean? It means that there is one God. He expresses Himself through these three persons, and that God has always been and will always be. So where did the Holy Spirit start? And immediately somebody says, oh, I know the answer. I know the answer. He started on the day of Pentecost. That's not where He started. The Holy Spirit didn't start on the day of Pentecost any more than Jesus started at Bethlehem. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and the Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit of God. And it might shock you to know that the first time the Spirit is found in the Bible is not in the New Testament. It's on the first page of the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's all the way back in Genesis chapter number 1, where the Bible says, you ready for this? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That sounds encouraging, doesn't it? So it was empty, it was dark, and it was chaotic. How many of you think that sounds like the world we're living in right now? And the next verse says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When people say to me, preacher, do you know how bad it is in the world today? There's no hope, I say to them. That's where the Holy Spirit loves to work. Where there's darkness, He brings light. Where there's emptiness, He brings fullness. Where there's chaos, He brings order. Do you understand? That's the very kind of situation that the Holy Spirit loves to move on, because when He does what only God can do, and only God gets the glory for it. So when you come to the New Testament, it's the same Holy Spirit that was present in the creation, the same Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost to live inside every Christian. That's the Spirit Paul's talking about. Look at Romans 8, verse 26 again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. How many of you are glad God helps? Yes? As a matter of fact, that's really why the Holy Spirit came. He's the paraclete, one called alongside to help. The longer you live, the more you're going to realize how much help you need. Funny, when you're young, you think, I got this. And you start getting older, you get the snot beat out of you a few times, and you get a gut punch from life, and you start dealing with stuff too big for you, and you start realizing, I need some help here. And God says, I got that covered. I've already sent the helper to live inside of you. Who is He? He's the Holy Spirit. So look at it. Likewise also, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Stop, lift your head, and look at me. Do you see that word intercession? Does that sound vaguely familiar to anybody? From last night, Job prayed intercessory prayers. He prayed for his friends. May I say to you that every Christian in this room has two prayer partners already. I hope some of you get a prayer partner this week. It's part of the reason I had you get with a stranger last night and pray together. It's part of the reason I love the fact they got you pairing up and praying in youth groups and all that kind of thing. You need prayer partners for accountability and agreement in prayer. There's a lot of blessings to prayer partners. But did you know you have two automatic prayer partners as a Christian? Watch this. You got one here and one there. I love this. You have one in heaven and one in your heart. The one in your heart is the Holy Spirit, and the one there is Jesus. At this moment, remember last night, Jesus is praying for you, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And I got good news. They know how to get their prayers answered. So the Holy Spirit is praying for you. in a way you can't even put into words, in a way you can't even fully understand. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. Let me testify for a minute. I love the Holy Spirit. You know, you start talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and people get a little nervous, you know. They think, well, you know, that sounds pretty radical to me. You know, it's sad. We have let people who've gone beyond the Bible rob us of the Bible. You shouldn't go beyond Scripture, and you shouldn't fall short of Scripture. You need to know the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that God is your Savior? Then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. How many of you think it's kind of weird to think that somebody could move into somebody's house and live there for 30 or 40 years, and they never get acquainted with the people living in their house? How many of you think that's kind of strange? Yes? Sounds like some marriages, but that's a different conference subject, all right? The reality is, some people get saved, and the Holy Spirit moves into their heart, and they live the rest of their Christian life and never get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. On purpose today, I'm talking to you about the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, because I want you to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn to talk to the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn to love the Holy Spirit. And I say again, I love the Holy Spirit. You know why I love the Holy Spirit? Because He led me to Jesus. Somebody said, I thought you said it was a woman that led you to Jesus. Oh, she was used of God. But the Holy Spirit is the one who opens your understanding and brings you to Jesus. I wouldn't be a Christian if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you this, He not only led me to Jesus, He's constantly leading me deeper and deeper into God's truth. Do you understand that you could not understand this book if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit? One old hymn writer said, God is His own interpreter and He will make it plain. He was talking about circumstances, but I'm going to tell you, God's His own interpreter. You don't interpret Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the great interpreter. He's the one who helps us understand this book. This is not an academic book. This is not a textbook. This is not information. This is revelation. And if you're going to know God, and if you're going to know God's Word, you're going to have to know the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, let me just show you something. Everybody hold your place. Coming right back. Go back to the Gospel according to John with me for just a minute. Let me show you what Jesus said about this. Jesus was getting ready to leave His disciples. They were pretty sad about it, but He said, don't worry, I'm going to send another one just like me. That was the Holy Spirit. And He's going to stay with you forever. And in John chapter number 14, He taught something about the Holy Spirit. I love this name. He calls Him the Comforter. Man, I tell you, in a world of mess, aren't you glad we have the Comforter living inside of us? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. By the way, do you see all three members of the Godhead there? Anybody tells you there's no Trinity, He's never studied the Bible. The word Trinity is not used in Scripture, but the truth of the Trinity is woven all throughout. You see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all right there in the same verse. And notice what He's going to do. He shall, mark this in your Bible, teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, He's going to help you remember what I've already taught you, and then He's going to help you learn much more. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one who turns the light bulb on. You ever have the aha moment where you see something and you say, oh, that makes sense. I got that. Well, I want you to know, spiritually speaking, that doesn't happen apart from the Spirit of God. Listen to the word spiritual things. You have to have the Spirit to have spiritual things. And one mark of the Holy Spirit is He's helping us know God better. He's helping us know Jesus better. He's helping us know the Bible better. That is why the Holy Spirit has come into our lives. Now go back with me to Romans chapter number 8. And let me talk to you for just a few moments about some prayer lessons from the Holy Spirit. We're in a great prayer advance, and I love that. But I want you to connect the dots here, that the prayer closet is really the Holy Spirit's classroom. It's where it teaches you about you. It's where it teaches you about God. It's where it teaches you about others. And those first disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's all make that our prayer right now. That's the prayer that sets all the other prayer in motion. Lord, teach me to pray. All right? Who's going to do that? The Holy Spirit is. On our way back to our verses, stop off in verse 15 for just a minute. Everybody put your eyes on Romans 8, verse 15. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I love this. Do you understand there's only two ways you can come into a family? You can be born or you can be adopted. Do you understand in the New Testament God says salvation is both? It's new birth and it's adoption. It's miraculous, that's birth, And it is the divine loving choice of God that's adoption. It's the best of both worlds. So look at this. You want to live fearless? You want to live courageous? You want to live bold? I'm going to tell you what you need. You need to remember who your father is, what family you're a part of, and who it is that lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit has come to live in you. God lives inside of you. Keep reading. It says, we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is an interesting word. It means papa. It is the most tender, personal word for daddy found in the Bible. You could fill this whole room with teenagers and let them all start saying dad. And if my kids were in this room, I would recognize. I know that voice. You know why? They belong to me and I belong to them. They have access to me. Nobody else has. You know what? They're in the family. Oh, I love this. Do you understand that Jesus made a way so you could come into the family? And he gave you the assurance of it by sending his Spirit to live inside of you. Watch this. So you have, oh, praise God, the same access to the Heavenly Father that Jesus has. You say, I'm not sure about that, preacher. I'll prove it to you. Did you know there's only one other place in Scripture, one in Galatians, but there's one other person in Scripture that uses the word Abba Father. Would you like to guess who it is? Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays Abba. Now look at it. His Spirit comes to live in us, and the Holy Spirit teaches you how to pray and brings you into intimacy with God. Some of you are scared of God. Some of you, even in your prayers, you talk to God like he's some far-off, distant person that you're trying to convince to come to you and to help you. Like it's almost like you're trying to get your will done with God. That's not prayer. No, that you missed the whole point. He is not an enemy, and he is not some far-off, disconnected God. He is a God at hand. He is a God near. He is a God in your hearts, and the Holy Spirit is the one who helps you come into that kind of fellowship. Prayer must become a family conversation. You ever have a family meeting at your house? Usually those aren't always good, are they? But the family talk, may I tell you that prayer is God's family room. It's where we come to God, we come to the throne, and the Holy Spirit says you can talk to him. Remember last night, you're accepted in Christ. Keep reading. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Look, I've got God the Father as my Father. I've got God the Son as my Savior. And I've got God the Holy Spirit as my companion and my guide. I'm going to tell you, you can't beat being a Christian. You get God and God gets you. Watch this. When you leave this world, you're going to be with God. But God made it so you don't have to die or be raptured to enjoy God. You can enjoy God right now because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. So with that in mind, go back now to our verses, would you please? Look at Romans chapter number 8, starting in verse number 26. What does the Holy Spirit want to teach us? In the early part of the chapter, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes prayer possible. But in these verses, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes prayer powerful. How does he do that? Well, here's the first one, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. Circle those two words in your Bible. We know not. Prayer lesson number one. You ready? You want to learn how to pray? Holy Spirit's got three great things he's going to teach you in this passage. Number one, he's going to teach you that you don't know how to pray. Isn't that interesting? Somebody said, I know how to pray. No, you really don't. No, you really don't know how to pray. Did you know that sometimes even the prayers we offer in public that sound really good, they're not really prayers, they're more like religious speeches? Did you know sometimes people are praying to be heard of men and not to be heard of God? And that sometimes we pray to get our will done instead of God's will done? I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, the prayers God answers are the ones that begin with him. In other words, we're not trying to get God to come around to our way of thinking in prayer. We're trying to come around to God's way of thinking. We're trying to find out what God wants in prayer and then give our amen, our agreement to that. Yes, Lord, that's what I want. May I tell you where that has to start? It has to start with humility, with you saying to the Lord, Lord, I really don't even know how to say this. I don't even know how to ask. Do you understand that there are moments when you can't put it in words? You know what one of the most famous words in the Bible is? Oh. Read the Psalms. Oh. If I said to you, define that word for me. Somebody said, well, I don't know exactly It defies definition. Do you know why? Because it's really more of a groan than it is a word. It's heart level. I was preaching a youth meeting some time back. At the end of the meeting, God met with us. We had a sweet invitation. At the end of the meeting, a young man came to me, a very sharp high school boy. And he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "Brother Scott," he said, "I need to ask you something." He said, "When you were preaching tonight," he said, "I know God spoke to me. God spoke to me through his word." I said, "Wonderful." He said, "God really broke my heart about some things." And he said, "I came forward in the invitation to pray." And he said, "When I got to the front," and he said, "I knelt down," he said, "all I could do was cry." He said, "I tried to get the words out, but," he said, I couldn't even put into words all that was in my heart." He said, "All I could do was weep." And then he said to me, he said, "You think God understood that?" I said, "Son, understood it. He liked it." He said, "You really think so?" I said, "Oh, I know he did." You know why? Because God is near the broken. It's when you come to the end of you, when you stop trying to impress everybody and think you know what you need and you can get it done. No, it's when you stop trying to get your will done in prayer that you actually learn how to pray. We know not what to pray for as we ought. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's prayer. We need the Holy Spirit to pray for us. Jude says, praying in the Holy Ghost. People made that all kinds of nonsense, all kinds of craziness. I want to tell you something. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not some kind of euphoric out-of-body experience. Somebody says, I just lost it. Listen to me. Praying in the Holy Ghost is getting in step with what the Holy Spirit wants in your prayer. The phrase walk in the Spirit, you know what it means? It's in the New Testament. Walk in the Spirit, it literally means stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Don't get ahead of Him, and don't you get behind Him. And I'm going to tell you where it starts. First step, you got to be willing to say to God, "God, I don't know what I need. I don't even know how to put this into words. I'm not sufficient for these things, but I know You are. Help me now." And I think when we come to the end of ourselves and throw our hands up at wit's end, I think heaven starts applauding, and God says, "Good, I've been waiting on you to get there for a while." See, most of us, our problem is not that we're not going high enough with the Lord. Our problem is we haven't gotten low enough with the Lord. It begins with humility. It begins with emptiness. It begins with brokenness. Maybe we've never really learned how to pray because we've never really learned what we don't know. You know what my prayer verse is? Jeremiah 33:3, my favorite verse. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." And here's the operative phrase. You ready? "Which thou knowest not." You ever think about how much you don't know? Wait a minute. You ever think about how much God does know? And God says through prayer, God will connect what He knows to what you don't know. But it begins with us saying, "Lord, I got nothing." Would you listen to me with your heart for a minute? Stop trying to impress God in your prayers. Stop trying to pretend. Do we really think we can impress a perfect, holy God? Do we really think that our beautiful prayers are really going to capture God's attention? God does not answer your prayer because of the beauty of your prayer. He answers your prayer because of the grace in His own heart. And so it must begin with the Holy Spirit teaching us what we do not know. Listen, I love this. I love this. Some of you right now are at the end of yourself. You're almost to the bottom. You think that's bad. It's not bad. It's good. Vance Havner said, when you get to the bottom, you find out the foundation's still there. Listen to me. The end of you is the beginning of Him. You never exhaust the resources of an infinite God. And when you finally get to the place where you say, "God, I can't do this. I can't live this. I can't pray. I don't even know what to say." It is that moment that the Holy Spirit begins to teach you the greatest truths about what it means to walk with God and talk with God. Number one, He teaches us what we don't know. Number two, would you write this down? He teaches us that He does know. Here's the good news. Look at verse 27. "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to," and here's the key phrase, would you mark it? "The will of God." Write a reference down right next to that. In the margin of your Bible, write down 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. Let me read it to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Prayer is not a slot machine. Prayer is not you telling God, "Here's my alphabetized list," and treating God like Mr. Fix-It. That is not prayer. Prayer is you coming to God. Remember where you've got to start? "I got nothing, Lord. I just need You. Help me now." And the Lord starts showing you the real needs. And you know how He does that? The Holy Spirit starts showing you that through the Word of God. In the last session, the breakout session, I talked a great deal about Bible meditation. You know what I believe? I believe that book that's on your lap right now is God's prayer manual. And if you want to learn how to pray, you better get in that book, because the Word of God reveals the will of God. And if you want to know the starting place for prayer, you better start in the Word. I found for me, when I just come to prayer and I just launch into prayer with my list, something's missing. But when I start with the Word and I let God speak to me first, then God starts showing me things, and I just start talking to God about whatever God's talking to me about. Look, please, then you know you're praying on good ground, because you're praying for what the Holy Spirit knows you need at that moment. And you know what it is? It's not you demanding God. It's you submitting to the will of God. And the Holy Spirit is teaching all of us. Are you a good student? You say, school hasn't started back yet. Oh, no, this is the school you never graduate from. Not till you get to heaven. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. And what is He teaching? He's teaching us what we don't know. He's teaching us what He does know. And then, I love this, look at verse 28. We come full circle now. He teaches us what we must know. Verse 28, and we know. Matter of fact, I've marked in my Bible in verse 26 the word know. In verse 27 the word knoweth. And in verse 28 the word know. No, no, no. He said, there's a whole lot you don't know. There's a whole lot God does know. And now here's what God wants you to know. And He takes him right back to the promises of God. You know what the Bible will do for you? The Bible will guide your prayers and guard your prayers. It will keep you from selfishness and your own way. And the Bible will help you know what to ask for that you know God wants for you. What is the will of God for me? You know what's really interesting about our prayers? We typically spend more time praying for physical, material, and peripheral things than we do spiritual things. Isn't that interesting? So we pray for good health and the safety of our family. And I'm not suggesting you shouldn't pray for those things, but let me ask you a question. When was the last time you prayed for mercy and grace and peace and strengthen the inner man? When was the last time you prayed to be enlightened, to know all the will of God? When was the last time you prayed that you'd increase in the grace of God? Those are prayer requests found right in the Bible. Isn't it odd that we would pray more for the things that don't last than the things that do last? In fact, even in most prayer meetings, you take prayer requests. 8 out of 10 prayer requests have something to do with financial, physical, something like that. I'm not against that. But let me ask you a question. Where are the people praying for souls? And where are the people praying for prodigals, your friends, to come back to God? And where are the people praying that we will become more mature in the grace of Jesus Christ? I mean, you study the prayers of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He's sitting in jail when he wrote most of them. And he does not say, y'all pray I get out of jail. He says, would you all pray God opens a door here for the gospel? That's very revealing. See, most of us are praying that God will open the prison doors instead of open the gospel doors. We're praying to get out of our messes instead of getting into all the will of God. And I want to say to you, as you mature in prayer, as you mature as a Christian, as you mature in the Word, the Holy Spirit is going to start opening this to you more and more and more, and helping you to know God through the Bible and helping you to pray in the will of God. 7.5 years ago, when we were going through our great transition out of the work we'd been in for 20 years into evangelism, it was a big deal, big deal. I had a friend that came to me one day. I'll never forget. He came in the office. He closed the door. He sat down across from me, and he said, God's put a verse on my heart for you. And he said, I've been praying this verse. I said, well, what's the verse? And he quoted a verse from Colossians, that you would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He said to me, every time I think of you, I pray a phrase. I pray, Lord, all the will of God for him. All the will of God. I talked to him the other day, and I said, thank you for praying that for me. He prayed the Bible for me. He didn't pray what I wanted for me, what he wanted for me, what others wanted for me. He prayed what God wanted for me. You want to find out what God wants for you and your family and your friends and your generation? You find it in the Bible. And then you pray that in authority and in faith, believing that you are praying in accordance with the will of God. You want to get prayers answered? Start talking to God about what God wants to get done. And I promise you, you will begin to see specific answers to prayer. Do you know the name George Mueller? George Mueller was an amazing guy. He lived by faith. He took care of thousands of orphans for years. He never asked for a penny. Never. He prayed in everything they needed. I mean, there's amazing stories. Like the day he had all the orphans come sit around the table. They had no food in the house. It was dinner time. They had no food in the house. And he said, now, children, we're going to all bow our head and thank God for his provision. They had no food in the house. They all bowed their head in faith. And he said, Father, I thank you that you provide for our daily bread and you know exactly what we need and you're providing for us today. And in the middle of his prayer, there was a knock at the door and a dairy truck had broken down just outside the orphanage. And the guy said, everything in here is going to spoil. Can you use it? He said, come out, send the children. And they carried in their answers to prayer. It's amazing. Would you like to know the secret to Mueller's prayers? George Mueller said when he got up every morning, the first thing he did every day was get in the Bible until he got his soul happy in Jesus. I like that. Are you a happy Christian? If I wanted to know, I wouldn't ask your pastor. I'd ask the people that live at your house. See, nobody's a better Christian than the Christian they are in the privacy of their own home. Are you a happy Christian? Do you really have the joy of Jesus? He said his first job every morning when he got up was not to plan the day and prepare a sermon and take care of the children. His first job every day was to get in the Word until his soul was happy in Jesus. I really like that. There's an old man. Somebody asked him, they said, Mr. Mueller, they said, you look like a happy man. All these years taking care of all these orphans and trying to pray in money and food every week, but you look like you're a happy man. They said he threw his head back and started laughing, and he said, I am a happy man. And then he said, happy, happy, happy. Duck Dynasty made that a big thing a few years ago, but they didn't start happy, happy, happy. And they said, well, how have you kept so happy in Jesus? And Mueller said, oh, that's simple. I can show you. They said he got his Bible out and opened it. He was an old man at the time, and he struggled, but he got down on his knees with an open Bible in front of him. And here's what he said. He said, every morning, he said, I got out of bed. And he said, I opened the Word of God. And he said, I started reading and just talking to God. And he said, then, he said, I would always read until I found a promise. And he said, when I found a promise, I would put my finger on the verse and I would look up to heaven and I would say, God, you promised. And I'm claiming this one today. And George Mueller said there was never a single day that God didn't keep his promise. Can I say something to you young people? I know it's a hard generation and a lot of difficult things to deal with. But God is the God of promises, and he always keeps his word. And all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen to the glory of God by us. We need some young people who get back in the word, get back on their knees, let the Holy Spirit work in them, and lay hold of the promises of God. And I tell you, if you'll let the Holy Spirit start to teach you these things and apply these things to your heart, it'll change your life. He's a real person. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. He's a real person. He speaks and he listens. He is God at hand. He's the very present help in time of trouble. He's the one that the Lord promised would never leave us and never forsake us. Don't you think we ought to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit and begin to honor his work in our lives? The famous evangelist D.L. Moody, early on in his ministry, was in a children's meeting one day. They said he preached like a house of fire, and a whole bunch of young people got saved. He was pleased with the message. Everybody was pleased with the message. He walked out the side door of the building to a carriage that was waiting on him to take him across town to yet another meeting, and he started to step up in the carriage, and a man put his hand on his arm and stopped him. Mr. Moody gave the testimony later. He said, I stopped and turned, and he said, I saw a little old man standing there. He said, I'd never seen him before, and I've never seen him since. He said, the old man looked me in the face, got right in my face, and said one thing. Young man, when you preach again, honor the Holy Ghost. Mr. Moody said, I was offended. He said, I didn't tell the man, but I got in the carriage and they drove away. And I thought to myself, who is that old man? I mean, I just preached the gospel and a whole bunch of people got saved and everybody said I did a good job and I felt pretty good about it. What do you mean, honor the Holy Ghost? He said, but that phrase wouldn't get out of my mind. And he said, for weeks, he said, I'd lay in bed at night and hear that old man say, son, when you preach again, honor the Holy Ghost. Mr. Moody said, after a series of events, he was walking down Wall Street in New York City one day, and God opened up to him what that old man meant. He said, I realized that to that point I'd been doing lots of good things. He said, I'd been praying and preaching and teaching and working and trying. But he said, I was so frustrated because I was doing it in my own energy and my own power and my own strength. And he said, for the first time I realized, wait a minute, I can't do this, and I don't have to do this. The Holy Spirit will help me. Moody said he went back to the same places, preached the same sermons. And this time, instead of 10 or 12 getting saved, hundreds got saved. Instead of 100 staying to be counseled after, 1,000 would stay after. And Moody said it was all one thing. He said, I began to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in my own life. And I'm not trying to be spooky or weird. I'm asking every believer in this room, do you know the Holy Spirit? He lives inside of you, but have you yielded everything to the control of the Spirit of God? And when you come to prayer, do you just bring your agenda, or do you come saying, Holy Spirit, you have to help me now. Open the Bible to me. Show me what you want. How many of you have ever heard the term be filled with the Spirit? Come straight from the Bible. Let me ask you, don't answer out loud, just think on it. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking, have you ever been? I'm not asking, do you want to be? I'm not asking, do others think you are? You could be the best kid in the whole youth group. But I'm asking at this moment, I'm talking about this second. Not when you go to Bible college someday, not when you whatever, fill in the blank. Right now, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Let me illustrate. Glad I put on good socks today. See that shoe? It's a nice shoe, isn't it? All shined up, polished for church. Bought and paid for. I'm making payments on other things, but these are paid for. How many of you think that's a good thing? Yes? All right, now wait a minute. Get up and walk down these steps. I said, get up and walk down these steps. How many of you think we're going to be here a while? Somebody said, preacher, that's silly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But fill it with me. And suddenly, it'll go wherever I tell it to go. It'll do whatever I tell it to do. You know what I'm looking at? A whole bunch of people, bought and paid for, spit, shine, and polished, sitting in church, listening to guys like me scream at them and tell them, get up and do something for God and make something of your life and yield to the Lord and on, on, on. And it ain't happening. There's not a holy grunt going on in most youth groups. There's very little going on for the Lord in most churches in this country. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't have enough Spirit-filled young people. But you let some young people in this meeting get filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean under the control of the Holy Ghost, they'll do what they ought to do, and they'll stop doing what they should stop doing, and it won't be because some man made them, it will be because the Holy Spirit has taken control of them. And I want to say to every one of you, it's time to stop trying to live the Christian life in your own energy and strength and power. You couldn't save yourself, and you can't live the saved life. But the Holy Spirit is God's helper in your life. Let Him teach you. And let Him guide you into all the will of God. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Boy, you've listened good today. Thank you. Would you bow your head and your heart for a moment, humbly before God? I'm not giving an invitation for you to get up and come forward. Brother Young will preach tonight and appeals will be given, but right now, I think it'd be good if we just yielded ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever talked to the Holy Spirit? Isn't it interesting? We talk to the Father. We speak to the Son. When was the last time you spoke to the Holy Spirit and said, I love you. Thank you for living in me. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for opening the Bible to me. Would you do that right now? Would you just talk to the Holy Spirit? If you're a Christian, you can do that. I wonder, would you be willing to go a step further? Would you be willing to say to the Holy Spirit, now hear me out before you do it, because this is serious business, and it's better not to make a vow than make a vow and break it. Would you be willing to say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I yield to you, and I don't want you just in me, I want you to take control of me. Holy Spirit, fill my life. Fill my thoughts.
my plans, control my emotions, my words, my desires. Holy Spirit, take all there is of me. Ask Him to teach you to pray. Can you ask that right now? Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. Show me what I don't know. Show me what You do know. Show me what You have for me. Could we take that phrase and pray it for us all? All the will of God. Yes, Lord, all the will of God for me. All the will of God for my family. All the will of God for our youth group. Oh, Holy Spirit, have Your way with us. Help us not to miss what You have for us. Would you pray right now for the meeting tonight? Pray for Brother Young as he preaches. And pray for yourself. It's not just the preacher that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, give us Spirit-filled listeners. Lord, fill these young people with the Holy Spirit. Fill this place with Thy presence. Fill these moments with Your glory. All the will of God. And now, Father, in the powerful name of Jesus and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I pray that You will make us all today, preacher and people, more the Christians You saved us to be. May we be filled with the Spirit of God and used of the Holy Spirit to accomplish Your purpose in this world. Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look this way for just a moment? Let me chat with you for a second. You've listened so well. Man, you listened well. I appreciate it. I know you're tired and food is soon, and all God's people said amen. But you're listening great. I want to say just a couple things to you. I love being a part of this. Man, I've loved every minute of it. And I've got to head to another meeting, but I appreciate getting the opportunity to be a part of this. And I'm praying for Brother Young. I know God's going to use him. God's used him in the lives of my own children. Earlier this summer, my daughter's working at a camp in Michigan. He came to preach for a week, and God used him. I just praise God for that. I know He's going to use him in your life tonight. But can I say this to you? It's really not about who the preachers are. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we all get enamored with speakers, and we forget they're just messenger boys. When you come into the meetings, pray as you come into the meeting, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, work on me. And God will answer that prayer. I'm praying for him, praying for you, and just very grateful to get to be a part of it. I want to say this to you. We have a little daily Bible study that we do, 10 minutes a day, that's all it is, 5 days a week, called Enjoying the Journey. How many of you ever listen to podcast at all? Ever listen to podcast? It's a podcast. It's on any platform, so you can just type in Enjoying the Journey or my name, either one, and find it. I'd be honored for you to subscribe to it and study with us. I'm telling you that because Monday we're starting a brand new series from the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. And I really think coming off a spiritual momentum like this weekend, it'd be a good study for you to plug into. And it may help you devotionally. Monday's tough, right? Just to get started. And so Enjoying the Journey is the name of it. Our website, the exact same name, enjoyingthejourney.org. And there's lots of Bible study resources there. I just finished a little book on the life of Joseph, and the title of the book is The Lord Was With Joseph. It's free. Now, if you want to order a hardback book or the Audible version, audio book, you have to pay for those. But if you like digital books, you can go to Kindle or Apple, either one, and type in The Lord Was With Joseph and download it for free. And you may want to read that little book in conjunction with this little Bible study series we're getting ready to start. Just trying to help provide some things to help you get into God's Word when you get back home. And I want to thank God for the opportunity to study the Bible with you this week and thank these people for making it possible. Thank you, sir.